KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
All right, welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. Before we get started, let's give a hand to the previous show, Melted.
Yes.
Yay.
Doing a good job. They're new, but so far doing a good job enjoying the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you definitely want to stick around for that. If you are just tuning in for our show, they are on from 5 to 7, so check that out.
Indeed, indeed.
But now it is our show, and now it is time to get to
this thing.
News.
That's right. We are in the news. And before we spine-tingly give you amazingly awesome news, we have a, well, it's sort of news.
Yeah, it's news for our station.
Exactly.
It's good stuff.
It's never too late to start a fitness program. Join Kristen Strelis and the Guadalupe River Park Conservancy for a six-week walking series Saturday from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. beginning October 12th. Step by step, you'll be healthier as a result of the class that leads you through the paved trails along the Guadalupe River. Pre-registration is required, 408-298-7657, or visit www.grpg.org.
Alrighty.
All right, so we're going to lead off with, it's kind of a curious sort of story. It's not, there's not so much a story to it,
but it's really cool.
In case you haven't heard, HTML5 is kind of the new hotness in terms of web design and web creativity. The advent of HTML5, there are things that they have enabled technologies that are more, that are, make the web more like the computer that you know already. So you can...
For instance,
someone has made a version of Mario that runs on the web, as long as you're... currently it's targeted at the Google Chrome browser, if you're running that, you can run a pixel-perfect rendering of Mario Brothers, their first one, as a, on through your web browser, just wherever you like.
Look at me, I'm a Mario on the Chrome browser.
It's a fun, yeah. What makes this kind of fun is you can also make your own levels. They have a level editor built into the app.
Get out.
And they have a version where you can option to play the game with a randomly generated level. So you can have all sorts of interesting things happen there.
We've seen some interesting games popping up lately that have that same idea as one of the backdrops. So yeah, that's cool to have the classic style, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go. That's something to make your web browsers more like your old school Nintendo.
Okay. We'll go from Italians that you can search for on your web browser to... Bigfoot, which is being searched for by an unmanned blimp. Well, at least that's the plan. I'm sure everybody knows that a whole bunch of people are absolutely crazed with cryptozoological stuff, and namely finding the Sasquatch that everybody's been looking for forever. It seems like he should have some sort of Waldo type of... get up going or something.
There's
like
a
that.
Squatch in that damn woods.
I wasn't going to go there. That's a little scary. Anyway, so they're starting up a new project called the Falcon Project.
Whoa.
I know. Nice. Doesn't it seem like it should be like military or jet enabled or something like that? An ISU professor and known world round as Bigfoot hunter, Jeff Meldrum, has been trying to set up something like this for a long time, and he got NASA on board, apparently, got NASA-quality photographic equipment, and they're kind of building a version of the blimp that I mentioned once before,
uh-huh.
except that it's scaled down. It's still going to be pretty big, but it's only going to be about 50 feet wide instead of like a football field.
Right.
So,
it's less of a habitat and more of a platform for observation.
Exactly. And so it's kind of the centerpiece of the entire search for Bigfoot. They're also planning on putting together micro machines, not the little cars, but things to stuff into stuff like bananas.
I'm going to go on land, on water, they'll be here in 5 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, they're not going to be doing a lot of traveling unless they work and are eaten by said Sasquatch. Mm-hmm. And then they become a tracking device. So they're trying to get all of this stuff together, and I'm surprised they haven't gone straight to Kickstarter, but apparently the money is the big problem right now, because the blimp alone is going to cost a little bit less than $250,000.
Whoa.
The camera on the blimp is about $60,000.
Whoa.
And that's not even getting started on all the little tracking systems and whatnot they're planning on putting into the thing. So they're guessing it's going to be about $400,000. But Meldrum isn't worried at all because, I mean, everybody wants to find Bigfoot, right?
Mm,
it's true.
It's a big thing.
And we'll probably find out when they find Bigfoot whether he's an alien or not.
Yeah. Mm, there you go.
True.
So
true.
That's worth $400,000 right there. So
that's cheap in comparison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, compared to the knowledge that you'll achieve from this stuff.
Knowledge of a giant hairy alien. Yeah,
mm-hmm. May or may not be an alien.
Yeah. I'm going with alien because, okay. Yeah, I mean it's a given at this point.
Yeah,
because he's too adept at evading everything, you know? So that points to alien technology to me.
Mm, there you go.
I'm just putting it out there, Mr. Meldrum.
Alien.
Yes.
Alien memories.
Well, okay, so from Bigfoot to director's set for Angry Birds movie.
Oh, say what? Man.
That's right, Sony Pictures and Rovio Entertainment have tapped veteran animators Clay Cadis and Fergal Riley to co-direct the CG-animated 3D movie Angry Birds, based on the hugely successful game app. In his 19 years at Disney, Cadis served as animation supervisor on Tangled and was an animator on Wreck-It Ralph and the studio's upcoming Frozen. Riley, meanwhile, has been with Sony Animation since 2003, contributing to films such as Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and Hotel Transylvania. He was also a storyboard artist on Spider-Man 2, and the Iron Giant.
Oh, okay. Well, you got me with Iron Giant.
Not Spider-Man 2 or Hotel Transylvania. Angry Not so Birds much. Will be Cladis and Riley's directorial debut. Quote, "I'm very excited that Fergal and Clay have joined us, bringing with them their vast expertise," says Rovio Entertainment CEO Mikhail Hid. "They are two of the brightest rising talents in animation, and I'm confident we are building the right team to tell the story of Angry Birds and deliver an amazing movie experience to our fans." Angry Birds is going to hit July 1st, 2016.
You know, I was trying to figure out why I wasn't excited about this, but I think that hits on it is that I haven't had the full story of Angry Birds yet. And once I'm able to digest the full story of Angry Birds, I think I might be a complete and total fan of the movie.
Yeah, okay.
2016.
Yeah.
It's not going to be another Smurfs, I know that. There's no way.
I hope not another Smurfs.
No way.
We can only pray. Alrighty, so from that to amazing story coming out of Disney Research. Yes, Disney has a research arm, and they have a new technology that will allow you to use when you touch a flat screen surface to feel the texture of the object on the screen. The idea is that what we understand to be the sense of touch is our brain interpreting different variations in friction. And what they found is that when you run a small current across modulating current across the screen, it fools the finger into thinking it is touching something. And with that, they can simulate texture and something like that. And it's just freaking amazing.
Yeah, I know every time I've gotten shocked really badly, I feel like I've felt things that...
No,
it's
not that big of a shock.
So you'll have the touch and you'll have the power?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Disney will have the power, but you will have...
You'll feel like you have the power, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's close. It's a proximity thing, I guess. So, yeah, that's good. So, speaking of power, sort of... there's a little device that we end up being completely useless without when we're stuck in a certain situation, but we always end up having it in the wrong place, at least probably 90% of people. And that thing is a flashlight. I mean, if it gets dark and you need a flashlight, like suddenly blackout sort of situation.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Are you able to find that flashlight pretty easily?
Not usually.
Yeah. So, somebody decided to solve that problem.
And gave everybody in the world cell phones.
We're going to jump right past that.
Not everyone has a smartphone.
Right. Yeah. And yeah.
Because there's the flashlight apps that, you know, turn your flash into...
No, I know. But... Let's say that we're in a weird world where cell phones do not exist, or you do not live with somebody who has a smartphone with said functionality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then there is another solution.
Mm.
You can have light bulbs be your flashlights.
Light bulbs as flashlights.
Huh.
Huh.
It sounds so logical, and yet my brain is pondering.
Right, it's like, having a hard time, right?
So well, how does that work?
I've had... Well, let me tell you.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
It's literally just an LED. Yeah, don't fall.
Nice. Jeez.
Well, okay, first I'll give credit. MoMA Design Store has been working with Lin Gao Hughes, or Hugh, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I probably butchered that. I apologize, Lin Gao, but I'm trying to give you credit. anyway, so they just came up with a simple idea of having an LED-based light bulb that has a normal charge-up type of thing that you just plug it in, and as soon as the light is cut, not like when it's turned off or something like that, it ends up being on.
Hmm.
So you can grab it and whatnot.
So that's
and since it's LED, it should be cool enough that you do not burn your fingers off.
Okay.
So that's another good idea.
Yeah, and also when the light needed to make a flashlight as opposed to light a room is a little bit different, so they can probably like drop the amount that they would need to push through it to.
Right. The idea is that it's going to be a 40-watt bulb, so you can translate that into LED, and that's. Like even less juice to burn your fingers. But yeah, it seems like a really cool idea. It's the type of thing that I've only seen as like night lights or entryway lights and stuff like that so far. But having it just be something that you can grab straight out of your lamp is kind of a cool little trick.
Yeah.
Multi-purpose.
I know.
Nice.
And plus it's a good thing to push the LED bulbs into the world and have them justify their... expensive because actually the price of this isn't too much more than one of those light bulbs is costing right now. It's nice. As best as I can tell.
Nice.
Alrighty, well, here's something that's also multi-purpose. We got a radio stream. If you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near radio, you can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. All right, we're going to take a quick music break and then come back with more news. I'm going to play the band The Family Crest, the song The Headwinds from the album The Headwinds EP. Now you're listening to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. And we like it when you participate. So go to our Facebook page, Robots Attack, tweet us, Robots Attack Me, or go to our own website, robotsattack.me, and you can check out old shows and all that stuff. But we love it when you participate. Feel free to do it anytime during the show. Post a comment. You can check out the links to our news stories all there. That's how you do it. So please do it. All right, let's get to that music, and then we'll be back with more news.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
News.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central Talk Show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We're back to some more news for you, and I got a story about the Russian government.
Dun, dun, oh, wow. Dun.
The Russian government to develop video games. Foreign games may be banned to make way for more educational ones.
Yeah, educational.
Yes. This story I grabbed from IGN. The Russian government will develop, quote, patriotic video games and could ban foreign video games that distort history, quote.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian Military History Society will be in charge of the video game project, beginning with a title detailing the inception of Russian military aviation during World War I, THR reports, quote, a video game has to have not only an entertainment value, but it also has to teach and be conducive to patriotic education. Arseniy Mironov, an aide to the Russian culture minister, told Izvestia, a Russian newspaper, the RMHS, feels the, quote, Russian warrior has been portrayed wrongly in past games, namely Company of Heroes 2. In Relic's RTS title, Russian soldiers are portrayed as criminals. The RMHS says, and the title also isn't translated into Russian. The culture ministry said that foreign games like this can discredit the Russian soldier. The Russian government is exploring options with several local developers to develop the first educational title.
Okay. Yeah, and there's not a whole lot of reality in the Metro series either. So.
Yeah.
They probably don't like that one as much.
Although, yeah, well, it's based off a Russian novel.
Yeah.
So.
But still not educational per se.
True.
It does not... portray the Russian warrior in a positive... Wait, I have no idea where to go from there.
To our next story.
Yeah, let's go from that to our next story. How about this?
Yes, that one.
This is going to be our robot story as well. The team of the whiz kids from MIT have made a self-assembling robot.
Okay, that's kind of cool. But I have to stop you for a second. Are there any non-whiz kids at MIT?
I'm sure there's at least two.
Okay. I just wanted to get that established. Now, a self-assembling robot, you say?
Yes, a self-assembling robot. This is... I found this story on Wired. It is a... It's made up of a bunch of little cubes about...
Oh, well, that's cheating.
Shush you. Yeah, I don't have the exact dimensions of the cube, but they're small. They're
about an inch,
probably. And yeah, that's about right. And
I don't know if there's any actual reality to that.
Well, they have a photo of it next to a what looks like a wedding band.
They're
so.
Cube sized.
Yeah.
Okay, that's true.
they are indeed cube sized.
It is a measurement, right?
Yeah. About an inch and a half across.
Oh, ooh. That's way too big.
So each of them is equipped with a small gyroscope and weighted thing and a weight, and they can launch themselves into formation, and then watching the video accompanies this is both frightening and amazing all at the same time. It's as close to like Transformers as I've ever seen. It kind of one of the Stargate series, wasn't there like a race of aliens that was essentially a bunch of essentially living Lego bricks?
Man, you're gonna make me prove that I'm a Stargate geek.
I'm just trying to remember. Like, I remember seeing that.
Yeah. It's actually in both series in slightly different ways.
It's all good.
Mostly the
safe here.
The core Stargate SG-1 series.
You're safe here. It's a safe environment.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's jumping blocks that we're talking about here.
But yeah, when I saw the video, it totally reminded me of like some of the like effects they used for that. Whereas like it's a assembly of small things to make a greater thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's just so cool. It's just too cool to watch.
Yeah, they even called them replicators in the Stargate series.
That's right.
So yeah, we go from that to something that disassembled itself.
What?
No, disassemble number 5.
Yes, that's where I was going to go with that.
Nice.
I was trying to figure out how to work it in without sounding like a complete fool. But you did a better job.
See, I did it for you.
You did much better job.
I took on
job.
The fool role for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Good on ya.
See, that's why I said it's safe here.
Well, anyway, it probably ruins the story by the way that I started it out, but... since it's kind
what
of
we do here
since
about
it's
the
kind of the big finish, but anyway, I know it's something that people are constantly afraid of is having their toilet bowl explode in their face. I mean,
I wouldn't want to have happen.
I mean, yeah, I can't look at a toilet bowl without like crying a little bit because I'm so afraid that it's going to blow up in my face. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, foolishly enough, Michael Pierre of Brooklyn, he bravely walked up to a toilet and tried to use it, and it exploded straight in his face.
Ooh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had to get sent to the hospital and got about 30 stitches.
Yikes.
Just because he wasn't wary enough of the toilet like I am and like everybody out there should be. Well, I probably shouldn't try and scare you guys that much. Just a little bit less. Because apparently it was a completely freak accident, but it wasn't like stuffed with explosives or anything like that. It was just air that did it.
No.
Apparently it was just a really old building. The water had been shut off. And so when they turned it back on again, there was a massive air bubble in the pipes. And it literally blew a toilet apart. Just an air bubble in
Dang.
A
Whoa.
Pipe. Yeah.
That's,
so
that's
I'm
impressive.
Also I'm also afraid of New York. And so I'm afraid of New York and toilets now. I am never going to use a toilet in New York.
Afraid
Those buildings are just too old. There's just that's all there is to it. So yeah.
So then you're never going to Europe either, then, because the buildings are even older.
See, yeah, they're so old that any of the explosions already happened by now. New York is in that sort of scary, like, well, the toilet explosions haven't happened yet. This is just the first of a wave of toilet explosions. Anyway.
There you go, then.
Nice. Well, before I get to my story, I'm going to have Caleb read our next PSA. That
Why,
something that isn't scary.
No, this is not scary at all. This will touch your heart. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but
sure.
have limited time to volunteer? Well, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. You can join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
All right, so from that lovely message to Amazing Spider-Man 2 writers back for Spider-Man 3. That's right. Amazing Spider-Man 2 hasn't come out yet.
Right.
But the writers for it are back for 3.
You confused the heck out of me because of the previous story. Like, okay, okay, yeah.
Yes, amazing.
Different one.
But this might scare you.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Because I had no idea that these were the writers for Spider-Man 2. Kurtzman, Ortsy, and Pichner to pen the script for Sony. So, you know, if you've seen Lost's and Transformers movies and Star Trek 2, and they have their hits and misses. So,
right, okay.
That writing team, all of whom share screenwriting credit on Sony's The Amazing Spider-Man 2, are officially set to return for The Amazing Spider-Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this summer, the studio revealed that Spider-Man 3 and Spider-Man 4 would hit theaters on June 10th, 2016 and May 4th, 2018, respectively.
Oh, wow.
Meanwhile, Spidey 2... They do. That's how they map them out. Just like
in my
it's like Marvel.
Hand right now, like plan. That's the hand movement of that.
Spidey 2, which is currently in post-production, is targeting a May 2nd, 2014 release. Andrew Garfield is expected to reprise his role for part 3, as is director Mark Webb, who helmed the first two films.
Okay.
So, I enjoyed the first one. So, and the second one looked cool from the stuff I saw from Comic-Con. So
okay.
It could be a positive thing.
It's definitely my favorite live action Spider-Man so far.
So there you go.
I'll put it that way.
True. Although, I mean,
it is
that
true.
70s,
that, is mine.
That what 70s one, the Japanese one or whatever, where they're like the web is rope or something. I mean, that is pretty awesome
in its own special way.
You know, I mean.
It does stand. It does stand alone.
Okay, we got that out of the way. Let's never talk about that again.
What, you don't want the talking motorcycle or the talking car part of that?
See.
And the mysterious Spider Clan, which has the mystic powers, which give Spider-Man his strength and
agility. Exactly, the mysterious Spider Clan. Come on.
Why are you doing this to me? Okay, the one thing that good that did come out of that is that now a very beautiful girl is cosplaying as that version of Spider-Man, as a girl version. So
there you go.
So yeah,
not a
I'm okay
loss.
With that, although it's still ridiculous looking. But she was gunning for it, so that's good.
Yeah, well, if you're gonna go for that, you might as well go all the way and like just push that to the extreme, right?
Exactly.
Very true.
Well, my story is, to me, kind of awesome and really scary at the same time.
Okay.
It's about needing a kidney.
Okay. So you need a kidney.
So, number one, it's really difficult to get a kidney when you need it, just in general, because, I mean, they're not, like, floating around or growing on trees and
whatnot.
Exactly.
So plus, you have to find one that will...
be compatible.
Match.
Right, that properly kidneys and so on. Anyway, so there's been a kind of interesting trend lately of people going to social media to find kidneys, because there's nothing wrong with somebody just giving you one.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to go through the normal channels. You can be gifted one. So if you're popular enough, quote unquote, you can go on social media and get one fairly easy, is the way it's shaping up right now.
That's a little that is a little frightening.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's cool that they're getting a kidney, but I mean, I'd kind of rather have something more along the lines of the pet adoption service that we've been talking about talk about on the show pretty often, and have something like that for people who really need a kidney and show.
Yeah.
But yeah, just having whoever like go out and say, hey, I'm cool, right? I need a kidney. It has some.
It has some ethical questions.
Yeah, it seems a little bit off to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't put it that way. I'm sure they mentioned the entire thing about them needing it to live and so on. But but yeah.
I would assume that's what they need it for. They're like, you know, hey.
I just want an extra one.
I just want one.
You know?
Put it in a jar, look at it.
Right. I was thinking about attaching it to my elbow. But yeah, just a popularity contest for stuff like this ends up a little bit scary for me. That's all.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. So from that to something considerably less scary, we're going to close.
Thank you.
We're going to move over to a local story. There is a, as you know, there's kind of a boom in the world of 3D printing. It's like the kind of the up and coming technology, what people are working on, trying to make happen, all that good stuff.
I know what you're going to talk about.
Do you know? The in Oakland, a guy has opened up a shop dedicated to 3D printing. And is that they have printers there. They will help you create objects. They will help you print your objects.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of like, for lack of a better
Kinko's.
Word, it's sort of like Kinko's, or like I was thinking more like along the lines of the library for 3D printing, where it's like you don't have to own the machine, but you can go there, you know.
Check it out.
You don't. In this case, you will probably have to pay a fee for the usage of the machines. That's not quite like the library, but you get the idea, where it's like you don't have to like figure out how to do it all yourself. There will be someone there to help you through the process and help you understand what, why, and how this whole thing works. And I just think that's a really neat idea.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, people that are in kind of technology are like, this whole 3D printing thing is like, yeah, this is totally awesome. Like, Elon Musk is making rocket engine parts with 3D printers.
Mm.
So, like, that's totally awesome. But, like, how do we get that to come down from, like, his genius level type engineering team stuff down to the rest of us that, well, we're not... Well,
so
we're not,
you're saying trickle-down genius? Is that what you're...
Kinda.
Okay.
You know, we're not. We don't claim to be as smart as their collective intelligence. So you know, we sometimes need a little.
Well, maybe
bit
of, not you. I mean,
yeah, we need a little help entering the field, so to speak. And once we kind of get our feet under it, then we can self-educate or whatever. But I just thought this was really neat. A shop over in Oakland, in the, it's called Honeybee 3D in the Montclair district. So if you happen to be in the Bay Area or in that and you have an interest in this,
yeah,
they will probably be able to help you either further your interest or do something cool with that interest.
Yeah, it actually kind of related to that is Staples has been playing around with doing a service similar to that that they're testing out in multiple places, mostly down in the LA area right now is what it sounds like. But...
Oh, okay. Well, from checking out 3D printers too, Spending a Day in the Life of Anne Frank and the Student-Made Game.
Okay.
The story from Polygon. A new, quote, interactive experience from a German game designer lets players learn what it was like to be Anne Frank, reports Du Schwell. Kira Rosari, the German developer, probably butchered that, I apologize, behind Anne Frank, built a prototype of the game as his bachelor's thesis while he was studying game design at the Macromedia College in Munich. Takes place over the course of one day, October 20th, 1942, with the player able to interact with Frank's sister and parents, as well as the Van Pels family, the people with whom the Franks were hiding.
Okay.
Quote, it's not really about having fun, Rosari told Duchel. Well, instead of action, I want to create emotions. What does it feel like to live in 50 square meters with 7 people and a cat? The game places special emphasis on social relations. For now, Anne Frank is a prototype, and Rosari is not planning to market it commercially.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's
it's
an interesting idea, though.
Yeah, but see, there you go. Another story of video games are more than just what you see on the TV. GTA,
it's not just blasting
sort of
pixels across.
Exactly. And that's what I try to do with the stories that I find about video games.
Mm-hmm. Spread to educate.
Spread the. All right. Any other last quick stories? Or
I'm done scaring the people. I'm going to stop right now.
So shall we move on to music?
Yeah, let's throw.
That sounds
good to me.
That
all
sounds
right.
Like fun.
I'm going to play a band selected by Caleb here, called A Tribe Called Red. The song "The Road" from the album title. No, God. Nation to Nation. That's right. Got to be able to read my horrible handwriting. Thank you, college. All right. You're listening to Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. Remember, we love it when you interact with us. So go to our Facebook page, comment on there on any of the stories. You can see links to our stories there and on Twitter, which is Robots Attack Me. Tweet us. Feel free to tell us what's going on with you, if you like any of our stories, blah, 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 any of that. And go to our official website, robotsattack.me, and check out previous shows and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be right back after this music break.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central Talk Show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. You just heard A Tribe Called Red with the song The Road from the album Nation to Nation. Alright, let's get into some new releases of the week.
Yeah.
I'm going to start us off with what's coming out in the theater. This is just a select few, so it's not every single thing, but
it's not an exhaustive list.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay, first we have Captain Phillips.
There you go.
Which is interesting that they have starring Bakad Abdi, Bakad Adhemaraman, Catherine Keener, and Tom Hanks.
Oh, okay.
Summary, the true story of Captain Richard Phillips and the 2009 hijacking by Somali pirates of the U.S.-flagged MV Masrek, Alabama, the first American cargo ship to be hijacked in 200 years. Next, we have Machete Kills, starring Antonio Banderas, Charlie Sheen, Cuba Gooding Jr., Danny Trejo, Jessica Alba, Mel Gibson, Michelle Rodriguez, Sofia Vergara, Alexa Vega, and tons and tons and tons more. Summary, yeah. In this latest mission, Machete is recruited by the U.S. president to stop a crazed global terrorist from starting a nuclear war. With a bounty on his head, Machete faces death at every turn from a series of deadly assassins.
Dun, dun, dun.
And last but not least, we have All the Boys Love Mandy Lane, starring Amber Heard, Anson Mount, Michael Welch, Whitney Able. Summary, a group of high schoolers invite Mandy Lane, a quote, good girl, who's become the object of everyone's affection after returning from summer break to a weekend party on a secluded ranch. While the festivities rage on, the number of revelers begins to mysteriously drop one at a time.
Ooh. Huh. That's not where I thought this was going.
All right. Oh, and then from there we move on to the land of Blu-ray and DVD because, well, that's where we go next. Let's see. It's a short list this week. After Earth is on Blu-ray and DVD. Chucky, the complete series, is now out on Blu-ray and DVD.
Just in time for Halloween?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Exactly.
And development of the new one.
Mm-hmm. The Ice Age trilogy is also now available on Blu-ray and DVD.
Also just in time for Halloween?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing. Well, Joss Whedon directing Spears. Yeah. Anyways, it's the new one.
Also yeah. Just in time for Halloween?
Sure.
No?
The Hangover Part 3 is also on Blu-ray and DVD. And so is The Purge.
Nice. Ethan Hawke Fantasmic proportions. Okay, so from there we go into the world of video games. Probably the biggest release is Beyond Two Souls for the PS3. Live the life of Jodie Holmes, a young woman who possesses supernatural powers through her psychic link to a mysterious invisible entity. Experience the most striking moments of Jodie's life as your actions and decisions determine her fate. As she traverses the globe, Jodie will face incredible challenges against a backdrop of emotionally charged events never before seen in a video game. This is the game that has Ellen Page and Wilhelm Dafoe.
Ah, yeah.
Okay.
Number two, we have Just Dance 2014 for the Wii, for the Wii U, for the 360, for the PS3, and Xbox One and PlayStation 4 when those come out.
Yeah.
Just Dance 2014 is the sequel to Just Dance 4, if you, you know, 4, 2014, just in case you're confused. It's bringing all new moves with features for every motion control platform and over 40 of the hottest tracks and dances.
Count them, 40.
40, yep. Next we have... it's crazy Japanese. Disgaea? Disgaea, there we go, thank you. D2, A Brighter Darkness for the PlayStation 3. The Netherworld, a place where my mix takes right and today's... God, stop it. And today's friends are tomorrow's enemies. After a long journey with many ups and downs, Laharl finally finds himself as a full-fledged overlord. If you're familiar with the game, you'll know exactly what all that means. However, the other dozens of the Netherworld do not see him as such, so he sets out on a journey with his loyal, vassals to receive the respect he deserves.
Yeah.
And then from there, we have Orc Attack, Flatulent Rebellion for PlayStation 3 and 360. Orc Attack is a hack and slash action game where fun-loving orcs battle pollution-loving humans in a humorous fantasy setting. And last but certainly not least, The Wolf Among Us Episode 1, Faith for 360 and PS3 and PC. The Wolf Among Us is a 5-episode series from the creators of The Walking Dead based on Fable's DC Comics Vertigo, an award-winning comic book series. It is an often violent, mature, and hard-boiled thriller where the characters and creatures of myth, lore, and legend are real and exist in our world. As Bigby Wolf, the Big Bad Wolf in human form, you discover that the brutal, bloody murder of a fable is just a taste of things to come in a game series where your every decision can have enormous consequences. Your choices matter. It's not only what you choose to do that will affect how your story plays out, but when you choose to do it. A mature and gritty take on characters from fairy tales. You will definitely want to check this out if you are a fan of The Walking Dead from Telltale, because that series was awesome and this looks just as awesome.
Sweet deal. So if
one last one.
Oh, one more.
Because we don't want to leave out the PC people, especially the PC people who love F1. There's a new F1 for the PC, and it's going to have drivers from the 1980s. So there you go.
Hey, right perfect on. Timing.
Just in time for Rush.
Yep.
Alrighty. So if the idea of a game based on Walking Dead or on Fables excites you, you probably are into comic books. So here's a few you might want to grab for your pull list. They came out this week. Forever Evil Arkham War, number one. The lunatics are running the asylum,
no.
But who's going to save Gotham now that Batman has disappeared?
No, Batman, where'd you go?
Yep.
Don't leave us.
Then there's Superman Wonder Woman, number one. This is a title that focuses on the romance of the last son of Krypton and the Amazon warrior princess.
Yeah, you.
Marvel, on the Marvel side, Infinity, number four. Midgar and Valhalla stand on the edge of destruction. Who will stand in its way? X-Men number 6, Battle of the Atom part 7. The X-Men attacked on many sides. Rachel Gray, our last hope. Then from the publishers that don't begin with DC or Marvel, there's Shaolin Cowboy number 1, a hard-boiled tale of intrigue and violence as only Jeff Darrow can do. Yeah, and that's Jeff Darrow who did Hard-Boiled, which is also pretty good, and Big Eye and Rusty and a few other really cool ones. Magic the Gathering, Theros, number one. Famed Planeswalker has a new mystery to unravel. And then the Walking Dead, number 115. Kicking off the 10th anniversary of this title leads them into their biggest storyline yet.
Ooh, just in time for the series coming back on
It
Sunday.
Better be the biggest.
Then The Afterlife with Archie, number one. It's a horror story set in Riverdale. And the gang must face a zombie apocalypse.
Nice. Yes. Just in time for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to round it out with a webcomic this week I found. It's Galaga the comic. Yeah. It's written.
What?
Exactly. It's written by Ryan North, the guy who does Dinosaur Comics, which I've mentioned before. And Dinosaur Comics is awesome. And Galaga is right up there because his writing is
really good. It's just trying to run
really
off the
good.
Success of showing up in the Avengers movie, and I think it needs more than that.
it's good read. You got to check it out.
Okay,
nice.
I'll trust you.
It's fun. Don't expect Shakespeare, but it's fun.
All right, and to finish off our new releases, I'm gonna hand pick a selection of music because there's a ton of it. I grabbed just a handful. We have Dale Earnhardt Jr. The Speed of Things, the second full-length release for the Detroit electronic pop duo, was produced with Ben West. If you know who that is, maybe that's cool. second, we have KG Elephant. I've heard of this band.
Mm-hmm.
Melophobia, the third full-length release for the Kentucky rock band, was produced by Jay Joyce. If you know who that is, maybe that's cool too. We have Amos Lee, Mountains of Sorrow, River of Song, produced by Jay Joyce. Hey, that sounds familiar.
It's a lot of Joyce's.
Alison Krauss and Patty Griffin appear as guests on the fifth studio release for the Philadelphia singer-songwriter. Then we have Panic at the Disco, Too Weird to Live, Too Rare to Die, produced by Butch Walker. The fourth full-length studio release for the emo pop band was inspired by the city of Las Vegas. And finally, rounding it out, Jason's ultimate favorite, Miley Cyrus with Bangers. That's a Z, not an S, because that's apparently cool to use Z's and stuff.
Right.
Executive produced with Mike Will, made it the hip-hop influenced fourth studio release and her first on the RCA label for the former Disney star features guest appearances. Wait for it, Jason.
No, I'm already doing hip-hop moves.
Big Sean, French Montana, and Britney Spears.
Oh, I'm sure that's cool if you know who they are.
Exactly. So there you go. There's some new releases. All right, Caleb, you said you had some stuff you wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, hit us with it.
One of the things I found was this
not hard. I mean,
totally awesome poster that this guy had made on DeviantArt that compares the sizes of pretty much every single ship in modern sci-fi pop culture that you can think of.
I assume you're going to post this link to our Facebook page?
I am posting it as we speak. It is totally awesome. It has ships from Star Wars, obviously, EVE Online, and even Mass Effect. So it's good. And Warhammer 40,000 for those who who know.
So it's because I don't know what it looks like. So it's ships in the shape of like forming one giant ship, or it's just all the ships.
It's just a straight comparison.
It's a comparison chart of all the ships, so you can see like, well, how big is the Star Destroyer compared to a 40K Dreadnought, or how big is it compared to the Crucible from Mass Effect 3? Or how is it compared to like the Sovereign, or you know, it has
is the Death Star on there? Or?
Let me check again.
Is that too large?
It is an enormous.
That's no moon.
It's technically not a moon and a space station. So
let's see.
I need to make another one of these that's just space stations.
I assume you know the Enterprise is on there. Super Star Destroyer.
Yes, Enterprise, Super Star Destroyer. The Borg Cube is on here.
The Serenity.
I'm sure it is. Let's see, that's all Star Trek stuff.
I'm not geeky enough for this. I do not recognize.
some of them are from.
Does it have the TARDIS on there?
No, I think the TARDIS is just.
They'll have both sizes of the TARDIS, the inside and the outside.
Yeah,
they have Babylon 5 on here.
That's a station.
Well, that's
does that mean it has the Deep Space Nine?
I think.
They probably do.
And we've just lost our entire audience.
I think I saw Babylon 4 also.
Yes.
Now we definitely lost our audience.
Yeah, Babylon 5 and... Yeah, Babylon 4 I think is here. Anyways, the Iphian have ships from Wing Commander. Oh my gosh.
Oh, nice.
Titan AE is... The Titan from Titan AE is on here. There's a whole bunch of them on here.
If you like spaceships...
If you like science fiction ships, you'll want to check this out. They got Battlestar Galactica. If you've seen science fiction and been into it at all in the last little while, you'll probably find your ship on here. I don't see Serenity, but it's a really really big poster, so I'd have to search well to find it. But yeah, that was one of the coolest things I've seen in quite some time. Anybody else?
No, you can keep going.
Okay. Along the same lines, there is this guy
made an
awesome BMO replica out of Lego and a Raspberry Pi, which will powers a little face video screen, so you can actually have a somewhat interactive BMO, and that's just totally.
I'm about to cry right here.
So, for the audience who doesn't know what that is,
it's
a character from Adventure Time, loosely modeled after the Game Boy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, just so we're like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's
you know.
Yeah. When you see it, you will know. And if you don't know, then you need to go watch Adventure Time.
It's Adventure Time's like really cutesy little character, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's their cat bug.
And Caleb, how can they see this?
Well, if you want to find the links that I have just mentioned, you can find them on Facebook. You can do a search for Robots Attack, two words, and or you can go to Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me. And all of these will be posted on our own webpage at robotsattack.me as well. But they go up concurrently as we talk about them on Facebook and Twitter. So if you want to see it right now, that's where you need to go.
Right now. All right. I think that's been enough geek talk for now. We're going to get back to the music with the band Dog Party with the track Best Friend from the album Lost Control.
Man.
And after that, we're going to have Caleb's Corner. Want to tease the folks?
Today, again, it's a...
I found this poster.
real life mixing digital and analog control for drawing. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right. You're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
Guadalupe River Conservancy's annual Pumpkins in the Park Festival returns Saturday, October 12th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Discovery Meadow in Guadalupe River Park. Visit the Pumpkin Patch, listen to first-rate children's entertainers such as Andy Z, Zoon Zoon, or Radio Disney. Explore the toddler-friendly straw maze, play some carnival games, bring a costume to the Children's Discovery Museum swap or checkout booth staffed by over 40 community organizations. Pumpkins in the Park offers fun for the whole family. Admission is free, parking is convenient, and the site is adjacent to the VTA light rail station.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Hello, welcome back to Robots Attack. This is Caleb, and we are in Caleb's Corner, where I get to pontificate or just talk about something that I think is really cool. And today, it's something that I think is really cool. It's a digital ruler and pen for your touchscreen device.
Seen it.
Yeah, it's it's not the... They probably aren't the newest thing you've seen in a little bit, but they demoed it a while back, and now they're actually I believe going into production. The pen is called Mighty, and the ruler is called Napoleon.
Mighty. Oh, okay. I was thinking it was going to be Joe Young, but
no, it's Mighty and Napoleon. The device is they're designed to work with like iPads, the Nexus 7 or whatever Android device.
Insert digital device right here.
Yeah, what makes them kind of cool is like the ruler has several selectable different types of rulers built into it, or that work interact with the software. So you can have a protractor, you can have a French curve, an arc, or just a simple straight line, and so you can.
That's cool.
So the pen is made by a Donut, so it's got a really nice small tip, but still has a pressure sensitivity if memory serves, and they both connect to your device via Bluetooth. So it's nice and very simple, and the whole point was to try and say, you know, since a lot of the world is going digital, and while there is still a place for, you know, very traditional styling, and many of us are traditionally trained, it just these help bridge the gap between the stylus and a tablet, or going out and getting one of those interactive screens like a Cintiq or something like that. It's kind of like, mm-hmm, in between.
Okay.
So, and plus, it's always cool to have an actual, like, physical representation of whatever you're using. It's why we like a pen to, mm-hmm, use in the first place. But
exactly.
Actually having a ruler, it ends up a lot more natural than you'd think that you'd need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're just really neat little devices. That I think will make many people that have thought about drawing on their or use like carrying a sketchbook. This might help you bridge into a digital sketchbook, or your professional designers. This will help potentially you feel more at home You know, it wouldn't have to like do as many digital camera snaps or scans next to your computer if you have one of these. So,
yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, pretty cool little device.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah. A set of devices.
Yeah, a pair of devices. I think they're sold individually, I believe, but you can, or at least the pin is sold individually, but you can. I think you also can get them as a set. So there you go.
You better be able to. I mean, come on now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and obviously, they're made by Adobe, so they're designed to work with the Creative Cloud solutions that they've been released earlier this year. So.
Okay.
So there you go. From something to put in your graphic designer's stocking.
I was just gonna say that.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Totally.
Just in time for Halloween.
I think I'm... It's true. Yeah. It's...
Why is this in my stocking? I'm trying to walk here. Someone is terrorizing me.
Your Halloween stocking, huh?
Yep.
Well, I mean, it would be a normal stocking. Don't you wear stockings? Come on now.
Jeggings don't count.
By the way, you are rocking the jeggings right now. I'll give you that. I thought they were normal jeans. But...
No, that's so.
No, it's not true at all. Some of these statements might not be true.
Well, with me, probably most of them.
So, yeah, that was mostly it.
You should tell the folks about that game. I demand it.
Oh, yes. Tell us about this.
I mean, I know it's Caleb's corner, but you should.
I debated putting this into the earlier Geek Talk, but it seemed like such a small thing. I didn't know if it was worth it. But upon revealing it to
my colleagues,
it was decided that I should. There's... Oh, geez. Now I have to bring it up again. But there's a game out there... What was the full name of the game, Jay?
I'd have to look. I'll open up that tab again. But something like techno kitten adventure.
Okay.
Techno kitten adventure.
Yeah. It's a super simple game, but it's absolutely hilarious in my view. I don't know how long you could play it without it gnawing into your brain and soul, but you have to at least try it out if you're frustrated with all these games that have tons and tons of controls that you have to learn for hours and whatnot. This is the simplest control scheme ever. You press the green button. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like repeatedly pressing it. What it is, it's a cat with a jetpack. And so if you want the jetpack to elevate the cat, you press the button. If you want it to slack off and let the cat descend a little bit, you let go of the green button. But anyway, so it's this cat flying through the air thanks to this jetpack and your green button. And you're trying to avoid sparkly stars.
Mm-hmm.
And
as you would as a cat.
Right,
flying
exactly.
The jetpack with techno music as your background.
And spaceships and dolphins and little RC boats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done in almost completely pastels except for the cat itself. And everything's just flying by you, and you're trying to avoid it by adjusting your altitude just with the one button.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, it's tough, it's really funny, but the thing that was like the perfect little cherry on top, they got a super realistic cat voice for every time something happens. Like if your cat ends up hitting a sparkly star and turns into sparkly dust... It's going to have a really realistic cat, like, meow every time it does that.
Oh, okay.
Which, coupled with how insanely ridiculous this game is, with all of the pastels and sparkly stuff all over the place, and cat with the jetpack.
True. It's,
to have this punctuation of a really, really realistic cat noise, I almost guarantee it'll make you crack up. Yeah. And they have different versions of the game if you apparently unlock the full game where you can play as different variants of the cat. And my favorite is kind of a variation of the classic staple of geekdom, the Nyan Cat. Is that?
Yeah, Nyan Cat.
Okay, I want to make sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. Because, of course, it leaves behind a trail of rainbows. Well, it's a cat turned around backwards, and it's flying through the air by puking a rainbow.
Nice.
So, there you go.
That's got to be worth the pocket change that this game will cost you. Just right there, flying a rainbow puking cat, and then probably having it make a realistic cat noise if you
run into something.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Sounds a little bit like Cannibalt, where it's only like one button, you just keep pressing that you press it in time to make the action keep going.
Oh yeah, I mean it's not new. It's just a really well insanely done. Funny combination of all of these elements.
So, cool.
Please check it out.
we'll have the link to it on our Facebook page and Twitter.
Apparently, it's every place. I found it on Xbox Indie Games, but you can get it on all of the cell phone structures and whatnot too.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, we're gonna take another music break, and then we'll be back with Joe's list, which I will tease you all with. We're gonna talk about some cool trailers that the movies themselves turned out to be not very good.
Yeah.
And I know that you out there listening, you've definitely experienced that. So tweet us or comment us some trailers that you've seen that were like, that looks really cool. And you sit down wherever and you watch it and you're like, that was really dumb. I even will throw in the trailers that are like, wow, there's the entire movie right there. If you've experienced those, let us know those as well.
And we know you have.
We know you have. So
if you've been to the movies recently, you've done this.
Yeah. So go to our Facebook page, Robots Attack. Comment there. Tweet us, Robots Attack Me. And let us know. But let's get to some music. I'm going to play Aluna George with You Know You Like It from the album Body Music. All right. You're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
Get ready for Joe's List.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound, and you are in Joe's List. Teased it earlier. Now we have a list I found from Zergnet. It's five trailers, movie trailers, that, according to this list, looked really cool, but the movies themselves turned out to be pretty bad.
They turned out to be straight whack.
Okay.
Yes.
Sure. We'll go with that.
I think that's how the kids say
it. Is that how the kids are saying it these days? All right. Well, it's good to have an in on the kids.
I try and stay up to date with the kids.
That's cool. Okay. The number five on their list is, let's see. They're definitely correct that the movie was horrible. And the trailer definitely was very interesting. It was, as they put it, visually stunning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Speed Racer from 2008.
Okay.
Horrible movie.
What are you talking about, monkey?
Horrible movie. Yeah, the monkey's cool, but horrible movie.
Horrible. It had its flaws.
Horrible movie.
One of the biggest of which was that it was horrible.
Yes, its horrible quota was very high. They dipped filled into the horrible bag very much. Now, the trailer was very Speed Racer.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it and you're like, wow, they definitely captured Speed Racer. And that is both a positive and a negative, because if you go back and watch Speed Racer, as a child, it is very childlike.
It's amusing.
It's amusing. Yeah, that's a good word.
Okay.
But it would be sort of like,
there's a lot of really static poses.
Going back to things you watched as a child, now as an adult, and you're like, wow, that was really bad. Yeah. Let's just keep it there in the fond memories of childhood.
Right.
So,
along with Tinker Toys.
So the Wachowski brother and now sister, they definitely captured
siblings.
There you go. Yeah. They definitely captured Speed Racer.
Yes.
So
2AT.
So,
although I thought the inclusion of the Mach 6 at the end was pretty stupid.
Okay.
Horrible movie.
We need to spell something out here because that was a bigger deal than I think the audience may realize.
Okay.
Is that Caleb is a big fan of the series, and he didn't walk away from the movie stunned at his horribility.
I see your point that it's not a very good movie. I see it as having less flaws than you do. I enjoy the camp a little bit more probably than you did.
Okay.
Understandable. Again, also, I mean, this isn't my list. This is a list I found.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
But I would agree with this choice.
Yes. Yes.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm in kind of the same boat as you. Well, I'm a strange hybrid of the two of you. Because yeah, to me, the trailer made it look good enough that it was like, okay, I'll give this a chance, and this looks like it has some promise at least.
Yeah, it definitely fits this. It's like
this
list, it's visually stunning. You're like, oh, okay, this looks like it could be interesting. And
right. Mm-hmm. But out of the list, this is definitely like a softball throw, I think.
Okay, all right. We have a tweet asking about where they could get that game. You mentioned the Xbox Live Arcade.
Right, in the indie section of the Xbox Live Arcade.
In the section of the Xbox Live Arcade. Or you can go, we have a link to it, right, on our Facebook page. So if you go to our Facebook page, you can check out the link there. Should be able to find.
Yeah, it should also be showing up on Twitter.
And on Twitter as well. So, but yes, to answer the tweet from one of our listeners.
Right.
If you have access to Xbox Live Indie Arcade, you can select the... What was the name of the game again?
Techno Kitten Adventure.
Techno Kitten Adventure. All right. Moving on to number 4. This one, again, I would agree with, and I'm interested to hear your response because...
Okay. I know. I have a feeling. Yeah.
Sucker Punch.
Yes.
Not a good movie, at least in my view, and I would agree with this. But the trailer, yes, very visually stunning.
Yeah, and good music to go along with it, too. That basically, the movie...
Is a 2-hour like
music video. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I am totally okay with. I thought that was really cool. And I personally didn't think the story was as horrible as a lot of other people, but it probably did try a little bit too hard for depth along with the madcap action that they had for all the rest of the movie. But I'm okay with that. Hey, I respect it for being it.
As long as you are at peace with it, right?
Yeah. Wait, what?
Be at peace with it?
I am at peace with it. Hey, it's a girl with a samurai sword. You automatically get points with me on that, so.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get a chance to see that one, Caleb?
I never ended up seeing that one. Never quite.
Afraid of it.
I just never quite got around to it. I was like, I wasn't.
I got the DVD.
maybe I'll buy it
from you. Of course
you
did.
So this weekend?
No, unfortunately this weekend is
Caleb's going to a wedding. Remember we were listening on Melted, the show on before us?
Remember? I wasn't.
Weren't listening to man. He made a special guest appearance on Melted at the end of the show.
No, man.
All right, moving on to number 3. I'll try to help you dig yourself out of this one.
It won't work.
Okay, number 3. Max Payne. From 2008.
Ooh.
Yeah,
This was a horrible movie, but I do remember a lot of the visuals were really cool.
Okay, yeah.
And the art direction and stuff were the best parts of that movie.
Yeah.
This is dead on gold for this topic.
Because
I was really expecting something different from that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why in particular, because there really wasn't anybody at that time that was considered... like really awesome at the craft associated with that movie, as best I can tell. So,
yeah, video game movies are just now starting to become like viable.
Yeah.
So, that was a particularly bad entry into an already sorted field of disgrace.
Right.
Yeah, for video game movies.
Yeah, it did have the Kunis in it, so I was okay with that.
Yeah.
One of the best part. Kunis and Angels.
Mm.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Not something you want to inflict on somebody. I don't have the DVD of that, and I won't make you watch it.
Good, because I saw it in theaters, and that was more than enough.
Yeah, I think we all went and saw it together in the theater.
Yeah, we were kind of excited for it at first, and then we're like, hey, okay.
All right, before I get to number two, we have another PSA, the last one of the night.
Okay. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
Alrighty, so if you're just tuning in, you're in the middle of Joe's lists. We're doing five trailers that were kind of like visually stunning. That's what this list points out, but turned out to be really horrible movies. Number five we had so far with Speed Racer, which Caleb did not think was a horrible movie.
Right.
For on the list.
So if you disagree and want to berate him, feel free to jump on the Twitter.
It's fine to have different opinions.
Mm-hmm. We all can show respect to one another while having differing opinions.
Yes.
And then number four, we had Sucker Punch, which sort of we flipped now.
Right.
Now Jason was more fine with how the movie came out. And then we had number three, Max Payne.
We all universally did not.
That's the one we've all come together.
Next,
this
it's going to be one that you. Absolutely loved, right?
No, not really.
let's see what we come up
number
with.
Number two, Green Lantern.
Ooh.
Did any of us see that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's not.
Yeah,
I mean, Blake Lively's hot. That's probably the best thing about the movie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, then again, if you like Ryan Reynolds, he's really tight stuff. So there's that for the folks who like Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not a very good movie. But yeah, the trailer was very visual. It had some pretty cool things. I was like, I don't think this is going to be very good, but
give it a shot.
I hope it is. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen with the Green Lantern when it comes to Justice League and
when they do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I think they're going to kind of reboot it again, like use it through one of the other movies, like have it like a pairing, like with the Batman Superman thing. They'll pair him up with another hero that has an established not horrible record, and then go from there.
Yeah.
Whew. All right,
number one on the list.
Okay. I'm ready for it.
All three of our this one, Caleb loved this movie.
Okay. I see too big of a smile on your face. So.
Jason, it was all right.
Okay.
Me, this one was fantastic to make fun of.
Okay.
M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dongs, The Last Airbender.
Yeah, that was on my list too. Well, and it's funny because that first trailer that they made for it, it's not like it really was epic. It's just it was playing so well on everybody's hopes.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really show anything either, but yeah.
Which was a good thing.
It was smart. It was a good
movie
idea.
It's really, really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that one's on the short list of movies I wish had never been made.
Extremely awesome to make fun of. Oh, man. Extremely awesome to make fun of.
Yeah,
I had a blast by myself making fun of that movie.
I can understand that.
It was a lot of fun. But I had I knew going in how bad it was because all the rest of you guys were like, that movie was horrible.
You had fair warning, so.
Lucky you.
So it's almost cheating, really.
All right, I'll take that. That's fair. So that's been the list that I found, those five. I'll post it on our Facebook page.
Okay.
And get it up there on Twitter as well. So now I turn it over to you, gentlemen. I asked you to find some on the same topic, so go for it.
I'm going to go with one that I felt was really obvious, but as it went through the different movies that came out, it became less and less of a surprise, at least for most of the hardcore geeks out there. The most recent prequel Star Wars movies. I think everybody was pretty psyched when they first started seeing the Star Wars alive and well again, and they made trailers that played with our minds and imaginations and everything like that.
They played a Jedi mind trick on us.
This
will be a fun movie. You will not regret this.
And heck, they did all sorts of really awesome visual stuff, and I still worship them for that. But other than that, yeah, not good movies, unfortunately.
ILM was still at the top of their game like they have been for years.
Right. I think that could be an interesting thing, like ILM stumbles. That could be an interesting topic for one of these weeks, because I don't think we'll be able to find any.
It'll be sort of a, well, that one wasn't as good, but it was still pretty good kind of scenario.
So, yeah, in my view, super obvious and, yeah, kind of cheating in a way. But that's my first one, at least.
All right.
That's three, I guess.
Yeah, however many we think of. One of the ones that I thought of was Underworld.
Oh, okay.
I thought that movie was, well, it was just polishing something that doesn't need to be polished.
Okay, see, this is where we flip then. So, okay, you can have Speed Racer, and I'll take Underworld. Because I actually enjoy that movie.
I like that first one, too. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
So how dare you?
Two against one.
Whatever.
But no, that's fine. We have different opinions. That's the important. That's what makes it fun. Otherwise, it's all of us like, yes, we liked that, too. This is fun to listen to.
Right.
Yeah, I just found Underworld, like, parts of it.
Trite.
I found parts of it were actually pretty cool, but
demeaning to women.
But the
demeaning to vampire women,
especially I think it was the only woman in. I don't think there was a regular non-vampire.
I don't really remember that much of it well enough. So
Caleb tried to block it out of his mind.
Cleaned it successfully.
Yeah,
with the mind Clorox.
Yeah, the brain bleach only got most of it, but I still remember the very disappointing action scenes. I was like,
oh man,
that could have been cool, and this I got no reward for that all that lead up.
Yeah, for me, I didn't mind the action scenes all that much. It was as they kept making more of the movies where the action scenes kept getting like more and more watered down. And it's like I've seen better action scenes in the Nickelback video.
Wow. I was not expecting that. But...
All right, so what's another one of yours?
I feel like I'm cheating. It's okay. And this one is very
better than Dead Air.
It's true.
Well, this one is really specific to me because I know everybody else was super psyched about it, and it was kind of the triumph of superheroes everywhere. The first Spider-Man movie, Sam Raimi ones.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just was not impressed by that at all. I mean, there was a certain scene that involved rain and kissing that was kind of nice. But other than that, yeah, it seemed like it tried really hard. And
James Franco and Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Finally.
You knew, okay, yeah, it's a deleted scene. Go find it on the internet. But yeah, no, not that one. But yeah, I wasn't impressed by the villain, and I was really hoping that they'd have a really good,
It just didn't hit you right.
Yeah. I mean, Willem Dafoe is so awesome, and he is so perfect for any sort of villain role, and...
Yeah, and then they put the mask on him.
Right, there was nothing to it, and he barely used his voice at all for it, and it kept... Yeah, it kept getting worse for that series.
You already look like the Green Goblin.
Right.
I mean, I understand why you're wearing a mask, but you didn't need to wear...
Yeah, splash some paint on him and put a gnome hat on him, and he would have already looked like him. So...
Yeah. Yeah, similar... Mine follows a similar vein. Mine is the one that I thought was Daredevil.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Like, the...
I don't remember the trailer for that, so...
I remember seeing the trailer for it, and I was thinking, this is exactly what I wanted it to be.
Okay.
Then I watched the movie, man. This is not exactly what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
It had its moments, but they were so few and far between them. Just like, nah, that's okay.
Well, I mean, and it's back when Affleck just relied on, hey, I'm Affleck, come watch me. And yeah, it didn't seem like there was much more to any of his characters than that back then. But I personally, I loved Kingpin in that movie.
Oh yeah, like I said, it had its moments, it had its elements.
Rest in peace, Michael Clark Duncan.
Exactly. Yes, so much.
We salute you. Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted so much more Kingpin than they gave me.
I want him to be like.
I know that probably sounds wrong, especially in light of a lot of our previous jokes. But
it's
anyway.
All good. So I remember it's a safe place.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. So what's next for you? I'm curious.
Well, I mean, what do you?
Do you have any Joe? Sorry, or did you just?
I did the list. So.
So now it's up to us. Now it's up on us. Do you need a moment or no? You got it?
Okay. I actually don't have much more than that. But
all right, I'm gonna throw in Transformers 2: Revenge of the Fallen. I thought the trailer was cool, and I was very disappointed by the film.
Yeah,
I'm gonna leave it at that because if I say much more, I'm just gonna go on. We will run out of time because I will just be like ranting.
Yeah,
it's no fun.
I know you're never going to go anywhere near what the Dark Side of the Moon one, or what was that one called? The most recent Transformers
one?
Yeah,
Dark Side of the Moon, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if they were going to go dead on for, like,
Pink
song
Floyd
title
reference.
Or what. but yeah, they released that one and none of the other ones to all of the streaming media right away for a very good reason, because, yeah, there's nothing good in that.
See... That one I disagree on because that one, if you saw that in 3D in the theater, it was awesome. It's a garbage movie, but the action in 3D was so good. And that's the same thing with 2, because I was horribly disappointed with 1. So when I knew, like, okay, this is what I'm getting with Transformers, when I went into 2, I was like, hey, I can see the action now.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't like about 1. None of the action. It was all crap. Really crappily shot.
Yeah, well, and there's so much buildup for it, too, and it ended up just, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I'm fine with 2 and 3. Like, I knew garbage movies, really cool visuals. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, personally, I like 2 a lot. I mean, they had so many really awesome fight scenes in that.
In the forest?
Yeah.
Optimus Prime, that was so awesome.
Yeah.
I will grant you that. That fight was really cool.
So cool. The color palette was fantastic. The green and the machines and just instead of like a rundown city and stuff, that was really cool.
Yeah. yeah, they like a lot of rundown cities and oil rigs and junkyards in those movies. But yeah, I think it had one of the best sword fight scenes that I think I've seen ever.
Yeah, that was pretty slick.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, not super great movie. I'm looking forward to see what the new ones turn out like.
Yeah, see what they do.
Since they have a little bit better.
See what Mark Wahlberg can bring to them.
Right. I don't know why I was about to say like a little bit better class of actors when we just got done ripping apart some of his other movies. So, but yeah, I'm still interested to see how they turn out.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Okay. You got
to. I got one more.
Okay.
And it's one of the movie I actually sort of liked, but I acknowledge that it's not a good film. And that's John Carter of Mars. I thought it looks fantastic. There's nothing wrong with how it looks. I found certain amount of flaws in the way it flowed as a story.
And plus you're a fan of the...
I actually read the books. I read like the first 4 novels before
novellas.
Those
things with pages, yeah.
Before the movie came out, because I was actually when I saw the trailer, I'm like, this is really exciting. I want to see this movie.
I was pumped after the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing, okay, that looks like it could be interesting.
Yeah, and it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good either. It was just so mediocre, for lack of a better phrase. Like the spot on visuals, lackluster everything else.
Yeah, I actually liked a lot of the stuff in that one. I know It seems like they could have put a little bit more shine on it in a lot of areas. The only thing that really bugged me about the entire movie was that really dumb dog.
Oh, Walla?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it could have been cool, but it made it look like, I don't know.
It
was really cartoony.
It was a bit cartoony. The thing that bugged me was that they threw a lot of plot elements into the movie without any explanation or wrap up, there wasn't really a lot of lead up. That they make it sound like something has significance, but you have no reference for why it's significant.
Yeah,
and the book if you read the books, I mean, they're, you know, of an era. They were written in 1912. I can't.
13.
They were early in the 20th century.
Okay,
and you know, they have a particular style to them, which does not always play well with modern audiences. But like, they still hold together relatively well for what they are.
Okay.
And
cool.
But yeah, the movie had some of the charm, but none of the follow through that the books had, for however little that was as well. So like,
but all right, I don't think that's been a nice little chunk of ours. We'll include your guys's choices with the link of the original list on our Facebook page, and you can check it out, and feel free to add to the list with your suggestions.
Caleb, unfortunately, like half of my list is ones that were brought up in the first list.
So. Yeah, that's fine. You can just put the ones that don't. So before we get out of here and bring up the pre-funk show, definitely stick around for that. Good
pre-funk
music.
Show.
Relax. Caleb's going to quickly tell you how you can, you know, participate on our show, check out old ones stuff,
how
and
to
all
yell
that
at
stuff.
Us.
Exactly.
Either.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook. We are Robots Attack, two words. Or you can find us on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me. And or you can find us on email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And there is our own webpage, robotsattack.me, where if like you're just trying to keep track of all the words I just threw at you, robotsattack.me. And then there's a button that says interact on our page that has links to all the things I have described ahead of this. And if you use that and use those links and get in touch with us, you can send us wonderful things. Like this one listener who said, Joe had fur warning about Airbender and still paid money to go see it. What?
No. Well, I guess technically I paid for it with my Netflix streaming.
Okay.
Okay. Nice save.
Yeah. I was not going to see that in the theater.
Yeah, no. We
know you watched it like 3 times in the theater.
It's good you did not see that in theaters.
Yeah. All right, thanks for listening. We'll be back next Thursday from 7 to 9. Again, stick around. Coming up next, the Pre-Funk Show. Playing good music all through the night. All right, have a good one. Have a great weekend. Be safe, smart, all that jazz. All right, see you later.
Raccoon, Veronica, Mixtone.